The Bringing World to the Classroom podcast is supported by the U.S. Embassy in Bratislava. From the Slovak Spectator, this is Bringing World to the Classroom, seemingly unrelated stories that have shaped and continue to shape the world for the better. I'm your host, Peter Dlhopolec. In this episode, you'll hear from Roma student and volunteer Daniel Bunda. He's 20 years old, but he already managed to talk about inclusion of the Roma minority at the United Nations 2 years ago. Have things changed? Or not at all? We'll get to that, but I started our conversation by asking him whether it was hard to grow up as a Roma child in Slovakia.
You know what? I think yes, from the beginning. I think till the sixth grade, I was struggling to get the material to understand what people are talking about. I was actually speaking Romani till I was like 9 years old, only. And so when I was speaking Slovak, I was stuttering, you know, like I couldn't really express myself properly. And the grades also showed that. I think my classmates also didn't, you know, quite accept me or didn't accept me as I would like to. I always felt like this alien in the class. You know, this darker skin color, a different culture sort of than the others. So yeah.
When I think of discrimination or bullying in terms of the Roma minority,
yeah.
I've always been interested the majority of Slovaks, they tend to call Roma people gypsies.
Yeah.
And in our culture, it's not something that we should say. What is your point of view? Do you feel insulted when people call you a gypsy, or yeah. Are you all right with that?
I think when a stranger calls me gypsy, that does not insult me, really. It does sort of sting. It feels like you shouldn't be doing that, right? Like, I feel okay when people close to me tell me that I'm gypsy, you know, in a joking sort of sense. Or when gypsies...
When you say people close to you, do you mean like your family and people also who family, are Roma?
Also or... family and Roma people, well, they're close to me, but also white people, if you can say that, right? They're close to me. If they say gypsy, I'm fine, right? Because it's always in that like sort of joking sort of sense. But if stranger says, hey, you gypsy... This isn't really what you should be saying.
It has sort of a negative connotation when someone calls you.
Yeah, because like when you say gypsy, like the first thing that you imagine is someone who is stealing, you know, screaming, who is aggressive, who is, you know, dirty and stuff, smelly. And I think this is the perception of the word. There's nothing good that's connected to the word. And so naturally, I feel anger when people say or name a group gypsy or a person gypsy.
And so why do you think that Slovaks tend to say or use this word? And why do Slovaks discriminate Roma people?
There are gypsies who do steal. We have to admit that. There are gypsies who live in poverty, right? And so therefore, the hygienic standards are not... 21st century.
Let's be honest, that's not just the question of the Roma minority. Even if you look at right? the non-Roma people,
yeah.
You still find among those people who can steal
yeah.
and who come from poorer backgrounds.
Somehow in the society, or we people perceive something that's darker skin color as bad. You know, the white is good, the white is clean, the white is prestigious, but also we're afraid of what we don't know, right?
And has there been any non-Roma person in your life that was discrimination against you that stood up for you?
There are instances like that for sure. And the one that I can think of is in my fifth grade in primary school, we had a lesson on music. Someone was, you know, screaming or like being like, you know, those gypsies, they know how to sing or whatever, you know, so why don't you and blah, blah, blah. Right? I was really shy and I didn't want to... like sort of come into contact because for me that was really stupid. Then there was a teacher and she was like, and so what if he's gypsy, doesn't mean anything, right? And you know what, Daniel, I have a student in a different class and she told me that yes, I'm gypsy and I'm proud of that, and that stood out to me, so you should be proud as well. And that was the first instance, like wow, that actually pushed me forward, that actually pushed me in to do stuff
despite all these negative things that happened in your life, discrimination and bullying, you're one of the Roma people who finished primary school, then secondary school. Now you're about to start studying in England. So was that the teacher you mentioned that really pushed you forward?
I had another teacher. I had a teacher of English who was always sort of like protective of me, and she like really liked that I loved English and the lessons, and so
apparently,
yeah, she was really funny. She was supporting me, and she took extra time. It was not like in a part of the lesson. So, yeah,
Are all the teachers like this or?
No, No.
Like, we were just lucky.
We were writing the, like, so the written test, you know, like, so the teacher is speaking, right? I'm writing down what she's saying. So, you know, she corrects it, and there are like grammatical, whatever, you know, fails. And you get returned, you know, with the test corrected. But, you know, when she had my test in hand, she was like reading out loud the grammatical failures so that, you know, people can see and people can laugh. And I think that wasn't okay. I had, you know, this teacher of PE, and she was like, that small black one, you know, he can play volleyball, right? And when I had my hands in the pocket, she was like, put out the hands, you know, out of your pockets, you Italian. You only need a sombrero, right? I think she sort of mistook the nationalities, but the teachers were sort of always pointing out that, you know, we have this gypsy person in class, so why not to make fun of it?
You studied at Leif Academy,
mm-hmm.
an international school in Bratislava, but you also do some volunteering, or you've done some volunteering for Roma organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to join them?
Yeah.
Was it because you had that experience, that bad experience, and you wanted to share it with other Roma children and students and tell them that you may come across these kinds of situations, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's going to get better.
I was ashamed of being Roma. I was actually trying to pretend that I'm not. Even in a, you know, beginning of my high school, even though it's international school, very inclusive, I was pretending that I'm not Roma, you know, just not to get sort of pointed out. And then I found a role model from the Roma people, right? And she's a Roma activist and writer. And we met after I made the project. I made a website about her. So she introduced me to the organizations. Up until that point, I never saw a Romani successful person. For me, Romani and successful was not something that
you could see. Who's this person?
She's called Jeanette Motlova,
okay.
Right? I noticed that after I sort of came out Romani, right, in front of my peers, nothing changed really, but I felt much more like the freedom of expression, freedom of being like myself, not having to hide anything, not having to be afraid of anything, right? Just being myself. And so I wanted other people to experience that as well.
So what did you tell those kids? Or what did they tell you?
I didn't actually tell them anything else than I'm telling you, basically. Just the story of, you know, how I was bullied and how I lived through my primary school and how it changed. And so how did they react? Could just see sparkling eyes and a lot of friend requests on my, you know, Facebook. And we are still chatting sometime.
But I'm sure that you didn't tell them just your story, but you had a conversation with them. So did they tell you what they want to become one day? Or what are their dreams? When I read these reports about the Roma minority in Slovakia, specifically about education, all the reports say that Roma kids, they will become hairdressers, they will become construction workers, because they are not sort of allowed to study in grammar schools. Mm. And they are always told, okay, you're not good enough. Your grades are not good enough, so you have to go to this vocational school, and you are supposed to become, as I said, maybe a hairdresser, or you're going to bake cakes, whatever.
Yeah, you're right in that. What we found out, actually, is that in these schools where the majority of kids are Roma, there's no, like, advisor for these kids to tell them, like, you can be a, you know, biologist, you know, or you can be a psychologist, or you can be
just
that,
like you that. One day, right?
Oh.
That's where you're
hopefully, hopefully.
That's where you're going to study in the UK.
So yeah, I think that's that. Because if you don't have anybody who can tell you, like, I have different options, you're limited to that, to those options, you know? If I don't know what psychology even is, how am I going to say that I'm going to study it, right? It's just that your options are really limited, and they just see what they can do, what they can become, basically, from their parents, right? Which isn't the best, right?
So did any of them tell you that, you know what, I want to be a lawyer, or I want to be a doctor?
So at first, no. I have now kids who want to become journalists, or lawyer, not really. I don't have a lawyer. Doctor, yes.
You also mentioned role models, and you need role models when you are a kid.
Yeah, sure.
So you mentioned that lady, Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from her, is there anyone in the Roma community who children look up to?
You know, I think that's one of the things that is weak in media, and is weak in the society. I don't think they really do have someone to look up to, because nobody is actually really willing to go to these schools to really speak in media about bullying, about how it was, how could it change, you know? And these kids don't have the access to role models, basically. We have a lot of musicians.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, right. You have a lot of and good quality musicians, like, even, like, non-Roma people.
Mm.
That's, like, maybe the only thing they love about your culture, music.
Yeah,
right. But still, we discriminate. But speaking of the role models, yeah, I can't... Well, Irena Bihariova, she's become a new chair of one of the political parties. But apart from her, I can't think of anyone.
We have the power to influence, right? And those are mostly the music industry, right? People. Because the kids are not going to listen to politicians, right? That's boring. If they don't open up the topics of bullying, then it's quite hard for these kids to grasp.
So you mentioned the media, they've got the power.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we see in the media, that's the picture of a negative picture of Roma people. So we see how they were in quarantine, then they put a castle on fire.
Yeah.
So all these negative things, but no positive picture at all.
Yeah.
Do you think this should change and change very soon?
Oh, well, definitely. Because, like, even if they have this, you know, interview in the Romani village, if you will, they always, you know, the camera always points out to the part that's the worst, that looks really dirty and is, you know, there's like mud everywhere. But believe me, in these villages, you can see nice things and nice houses, right? And I always wonder, like, how and why is that? I lived in the Romani village for a month, every year for a month till I was like 12, because my uncle lives there. And I really liked the place. And I can say that there are nice houses in Romani village. So why always showing the bad, right? Why showing the bad light on Romani people? Like, my story was in media as well, right? And there are, like, these people who say, like, you're amazing, right? And there are people who say, like, you know, you're one of the million.
But I think you're not one in a million, because you are the only one that spoke at UN. In 2018, what was the reaction? Slovak politicians.
I don't know if I can say that though. I got the reaction.
Oh, first of all, tell me what was the message of your speech or your essay you read there?
Yeah. So my message was the essence, the human essence is the same in every one of us, right? And to help the society, we need to help the weakest part, basically, because the society is as strong as the weakest part of the society.
Okay, and now let's jump back to the feedback on the part of Slovak politicians.
So the feedback from the Slovak politicians was like, we hope that we see each other again, right? And I'm like...
Was that it?
Yeah.
Very briefly about politics. So we do have this strategy how to integrate Roma people in Slovakia, which was presented for the first time in 2012.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to end this year.
Mm.
So do you feel any progress when it comes to inclusion, when it comes to education of Roma people?
Honestly, I don't even feel that it started. When I go and talk to kids from schools, they always feel like that they are the different ones. I don't think that this is something that we can change just by, you know, just by saying, oh, you know, guys, let's include them, right?
That's a magic word, inclusion, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Although, I'm sure there are some good examples. So you are a good example. We do have some Vrima villages where things are going quite well.
Yeah.
But still, that's very a small number. So what, according to you, what should change when it comes to education?
I think we should redo education. We should implement, in my opinion, this emotional education. You know, raising emotional quotient of the children from the young age to understand what empathy is, to understand how other people actually live and what they feel. And in the end, they'll probably understand that they feel the same fear that, you know, they feel, and the other people feel the same love, the same, you know, anger, and all the other emotions. And so I think in the young age, this actually makes people connect. This makes, you know, people say that, oh, he has darker skin color, but he actually experiences the same things that I do. But definitely something that we should focus on in the society, not only in the Roma community. So,
before I say thank you for the interview,
sure.
My last question is,
yeah,
where should this change start?
You know, I say, and I think I heard a couple of people saying that as well, like, in Roma settlements, no, because, like, you know, the old people are going to do the stuff the old way, right? We can only change the and help change the new generation for better, right? And that starts in school. That starts where, you know, when you have the role models, when you have people who are caring.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
That is it for this month. Thank you, Danielle, for your time and sharing your experience and views. A big thank you to you, dear listeners, as well, for lending your ear. I'll be back in September with our very last Bringing World to the Classroom episode, covering the issue of education this time. Until then, take care. Bye.